What's up, BB Warriors? Welcome back to another Cross Tactical Airsoft Battle Minute podcast. Today we want to take a few minutes and discuss a topic that oftentimes comes up and is discussed, but it's oftentimes just kind of glossed over or glazed over because it's not something that you would think that every single airsofter would need to know. But when you started an airsoft, you may not have known all of the information, and then you kind of gleaned or gathered it as you went along. And that's the different types of airsoft classifications, or the classifications of the rifles that we use in airsoft. And what we use can be broke down into five or six categories. And for the purposes that we're talking about, we're going to keep them very simple. I am going to get into a few of the categories and discuss how those weapons are used and what their primary roles are as far as what people use them for or how they use them. And that means that some weapons in airsoft, the key to remember is that all the weapons that we use fire the exact same caliber. They all fire a 6mm plastic BB. So whether you're running a full-size sniper rifle or a shortened SMG or any type of weapon in the airsoft world, basically they're all the same. Because the main thing that differentiates a firearm in the real world, in the real steel world, is the fact that the different rounds, the different calibers, the different sizes, stuff like that. And so what we're discussing is the fact that every single airsoft gun, no matter what the type of airsoft gun, no matter the size of the gun, the weight of the gun, they all are firing a 6mm plastic BB. So this is something to keep in mind because it is important to us when we talk about airsoft, because oftentimes people seem to think that they're going to get a sniper rifle and be able to make incredibly long shots from great distance. And unfortunately, that's just not the case. They can make shots from greater distances than what other guns might be able to shoot due to the fact that they can upgrade the hop-ups, the buckings, the barrels, put a tight bore inner barrel into a gun, increase the compression by increasing the air seals, and doing a few things that make that gun shoot further. But In the airsoft world, realistically speaking, we don't really change a whole lot of anything because, again, the weapon system doesn't necessarily change, or the weapon system might change, but what it's shooting or the size or the caliber of what it's shooting does not change. And so that is important for us to understand as we are talking about the types of airsoft rifles, or pistols, or SMGs, or machine guns, whichever classification we're talking about. So let's start and let's break this down and talk about the different types of classifications there are for different airsoft guns. First off and foremost, almost immediately you'll know the first one we're going to discuss are pistols. Pistols are pretty much the, the first one we'll talk about. Although, almost everybody considers the pistol a second line. When we talk about second lines, what that means is that they are a second line of defense. They are generally kind of the weapon you go to when everything else is used up, or whenever you really have run out of other options. If your battery goes dead or you have a gun that is hard bent, or that means that it's not working properly, If you're carrying a weapon that doesn't allow you to operate in certain areas, like within buildings or whatever, then yes, you can transition to a pistol and you can utilize that pistol indoors. You can utilize that pistol in close quarters. You can use a pistol for long range, but it's not the most effective weapon. What we tend to think of for your pistols are personal protection. So if you are out in a game and you have run through every magazine that you're carrying and you pretty much are kind of at your last option, that's going to be when you transition to your pistol. The pistols generally, even though they can be used for many, many things, and they are really good for that, generally your pistol is kind of your go-to when you've run out of every other option. And so we do see people who use pistols like the high kappa as a primary weapon system, and there's nothing wrong with that. But again, when you're using a weapon as your primary, you need to make sure that it can perform all the functions that your weapon needs. And unfortunately, distance is not on your side with any pistol, just due to the inner barrel length being so short. So your pistols are generally your second line of defense. They're personal protection. Then we're going to switch over and talk about SMGs, or submachine guns. And basically, what defines a submachine gun is that, generally speaking, it is going to fire a pistol caliber round. And there is a difference between an SMG and a pistol caliber carbine. The submachine gun, or the SMGs, the reason these are so popular, like the MP7, the MP5, the Thompson machine gun, the reason that these became so popular is, number one, because they're firing a pistol caliber cartridge, the recoil was much, much less. In airsoft, that's not a problem for us. So the biggest thing that we get from SMGs in today's world in airsoft are very short, very compact weapons that we can maneuver around corners with very stealthily. We can do a lot of things in a very confined space, but doesn't require us to carry a pistol. So yes, you can still have a somewhat rifle length weapon, but you have it built into just a little bit longer than a pistol. And that is a benefit when you get into airsoft, when you get into CQB, when you get into room clearing and certain things that you might need a little bit shorter weapon to use. There are also some other classifications of weapons like PDW or personal defense weapons that you can run that might also serve this purpose. It's going to be a very short, very compact AR or M4 style platform, although most of the time, whenever you're getting into the SMGs, you're generally going to use something that is going to carry, in the real still world, would carry a very small round. So it's not going to be something that you're going to want to shoot over a long distance anyway. My MP5 is a personal favorite for room clearing. It's a very short, very compact weapon. If you've got the A4 style stock, there's a full stock with plenty of battery space. If you're using the A1 style stock, it's a naval collapsible stock. So you can essentially collapse that thing down and almost run it as a pistol. If you're using the MP5K, there is no stock, none at all. So it is essentially a pistol. For me, the MP5, the MP7, the Thompson submachine gun, and many of the submachine gun classifications, like many of the weapons, do serve a particular purpose in the real steel world. In airsoft, It's all about looking cool and all about personal choice about what you're choosing to run. I know that a lot of times the Vector, the Chris Vector, is considered a huge choice of many players when they're talking about submachine guns. That does fulfill the role as a submachine gun. The Grease gun, the Thompson submachine gun, the MP5, the MP7, all of those, along with the Macs, the Mac 11, the Mac 10, the Uzi, are all submachine guns. They all primarily fire either a 9mm or a 45 ACP round, which makes them a submachine gun. So that gives you the ability to clear rooms or fight in close quarters battle or close quarters combat, and that gives you a distinct advantage whenever you're not having to wield a very long sniper rifle or a very long DMR or even a regular length carbine like an AR or an M4 through buildings or through confined spaces. So SMGs definitely have a place because they do allow you to have a carbine length rifle but with a pistol size package. And that gives you the ability to do more. Now, the next category that we're going to talk about is actually something that's on the reverse end of the spectrum when you're talking about short-length rifles or carbine-length rifles, and that is going to be the sniper rifle, the bolt-action sniper rifle. The reason that I think that it's important to bring up next is oftentimes I talk to brand new airsoft players who want to come out and try airsoft, but they want to run a sniper rifle. One, because they predominantly think, oh, well, I've seen the videos of Novrich and Jet the Desert Fox and all of these guys playing, and when they're running some of the Novrich SSG rifles and stuff like that, they're able to stay way far out of range, and they're able to shoot it out with people and never get in direct contact, so they don't get shot. The unfortunate part is that's all video editing, and that is mostly done in secondary or post-production. So, yes, they can increase the zoom on those scope cams, and they can make it look like they're shooting somebody that's 300 yards away. In reality, they're still probably 350 feet or less from the person that they're shooting. So most AEGs can absolutely range just as far as your sniper rifle. Now, again, like we talked about before, you do have a longer barrel, which increases the velocity of the BB. You also generally are shooting a heavier weight BB, which gives you more accuracy at distances. But realistically speaking, even though I may carry a bolt-action sniper rifle like the M48-3 or something like that, there's not really any difference in that gun and a regular length AEG like an M4 or an AK. The distance is about the same. It's not really all that different. The biggest thing there is that you have the ability to be able to fire heavier weight BBs more accurately, and it may give you a little bit more FPS. The big thing that I think that newer players to the bolt action rifle is the fact that they've heard about or seen movies about snipers, and they think, oh, that's the greatest thing ever. One word of caution about sniper rifles is that because they're bolt action, you can only rack and shoot a round about once every, I would say, 3 to 5 seconds. Even if you're really, really quick with your bolt action rifle, you're probably not going to be able to keep up with the anywhere between 15 to 35 rounds a second that an AEG can produce. So if you go out on the field for the first time and you're expecting to go out and run a sniper rifle and be able to compete, I just want to caution you very, very strongly that even though it is a ton of fun to run a sniper rifle and it offers a fair amount of challenges to a player running a sniper rifle against everybody else on the field running their AEGs, I always caution newer players about don't start off running a bolt action rifle your first game. One, you want to come out, you want to be competitive, and you want to experience the game. You actually want to be close up and in the fight. You don't want to be hiding way back and you're wearing a ghillie suit totally hidden and back away from everybody. You want to be up and experience the battle. You want to experience the fight and you want to be involved in it. I think that's important, but I also feel like it's also something that will, if you're worried about being overrun or shot, so that is something that you will face at some point, whether you're a sniper, whether you're an assaulter, whether you're a DMR, no matter what, you're going to be overrun. You will be shot, and it's just part of the game. You can do a few things that mitigate some of that, but for the most part, it's not a big deal to get shot. You get shot, call your hit, go back, respawn, come back in, and keep on having a good time. But it is important that you don't think that you're going to run a specific type of rifle and just, you know, stay out of the way and never get shot, because that doesn't happen. Then the next type of firearm that we're going to talk about is kind of the automatic version of the sniper rifle, and that is the DMR, or the designated marksman rifle. And the DMR, the main predominant part to this is it is still a semi-automatic rifle that fires a larger round than the 5.56 or the 7.62x39, so something different than the M4 or the AK. And basically what these rifles are, they're a semi-automatic version of the sniper rifle. I do have several of them. I have an M110. I also have an M14 EBR that I have set up to be a DMR rifle. And basically, the big things that make these a good DMR is the fact that they have really tight bore inner barrels, they have decent optics, and they have ways for me to be able to set those up, whether that's bipods, backpacks. They can be set up on a very stable platform. But now, if you're going to a MilSim West event or a American MilSim event, or even some other type of MilSim events, you have to be very careful, because some players don't allow, or some event organizers won't, they won't allow you to run they only allow you to run semi-automatic only for DMR. They will not allow your rifle to run fully automatic if you're running a DMR role. The other part to that is it also cannot be a rifle that in the real steel world would be chambered in 5.56 or 7.62x39. It has to be either chambered in 7.62x54 or 308, something like a larger caliber round, because that's going to be what determines the ability for that rifle to be able to shoot longer distances and be able to fire more accurately. The DMR role is a lot of fun. It's very, very difficult when you first get into airsoft to build out a loadout for a DMR style loadout, because one, most of your DMRs are going to be very long rifles. They have to be very well painted, very well camouflaged, but they also need decent optics. They need, again, either a backpack or a bipod, something that you can set up and to work around. And it's also not necessary to have a big, huge, high power scope because, again, it's airsoft. You can only fire about 300, 350, maybe 400 feet accurately. And then after that, it's pretty much guesswork. So again, DMRs are the designated marksman role or rifles. Those are really, really fun. It's a great way to be able to fire selective shots. You're going to need heavier weight BBs. You're probably going to want a tight bore inner barrel, but more than likely, they're not going to allow you to run high caps. If you do run high caps, you're probably not going to need them because you're shooting in semi-automatic only, and you're shooting very, very specific. So you're shooting very, very close, very, very specific things. And you're shooting, you're not necessarily shooting close targets, but you're shooting rounds very, very, very close together. You're shooting them into a specific place, and you're trying to hit specific targets. It's not a spray and pray kind of event. It's one of those where you pick a target, you follow that target, and then you're basically ambushing that particular target. So the next type of rifle that we're going to talk about is basically what they call the assaulter's class, and that is the carbine, whether that be the AK-47, the AK-74, the M4, the SCAR L or H, the AR-15. There are 1,000 different rifles that fall into the carbine category. And again, these are going to predominantly be, at least for most MilSim games, it's going to be the M4 or the AK, or some variant of those. I do know there are people that love to run the SCAR. I personally have a buddy that runs a SCAR, and it is a really great, very fantastic rifle that is very dialed in and does a great job. There are about as many types of the M4, the AK, the SCAR, that you can get to. And honestly, all of them do about the same thing. The big thing here is you have to make sure that when you're out on the field that you have the correct ammunition in your weapon. You have either high-cap or mid-cap magazines so that you can carry enough ammunition for the event. But you also need to have the best type of battery and a good inner barrel. So a tight bore can be used on these rifles as well. But basically, they're going to be made for the assaulter. For somebody who is CQB, who is playing out on the field, trying to get distance, trying to get CQB, trying to basically fulfill every single role with one style of rifle. And that's basically what the carbine was kind of built for. Again, they can have optics, they can have bipods, they can have all kinds of things on them, but you're really wanting to set that up as light as possible so that you're not carrying around extra weight, but you're also wanting it to fulfill so many roles that you need to have it where it can fulfill those roles and be diversified. Now, the next type of rifle that we're going to talk about is a LMG or a light machine gun. This is going to be things like the Stoner LMG, the 249 Saw, the 240 Bravo, the M60. If you're getting into like the World War II era, there are some like the Buzzsaws, or what they used to call the MG42s, which were the I think they called those Hitler zippers or Hitler's chainsaws. Those guns are basically light machine guns. And the reason they're considered light machine guns is you have guns like the Maxim. You have guns like the 1919 Modus. And those are heavy machine guns. The reason those are considered heavy machine guns is generally you had the machine gun, which weighed anywhere between 30 and 45 pounds, and then you had a 75-pound tripod base that it sat on, And it took a crew of 2 to 4 people to run those weapon systems. And the heavier machine guns, of course, you know, to carry a bunch, like 250 rounds of 50 caliber BMG, takes quite a bit of power to be able to hoof that around. So what you're really wanting to try to do in the light machine gun role is make the firearm as light as possible and carry enough ammunition that you can fire as much as you need to. And the reason that we say that is most of the light machine guns have box mags, which are magazines that either hang underneath the rifle or beside the rifle. And basically these box mags, I know for my M249 and my M60 machine guns, both of those guns have 2,800 round box mags. So the amount of ammunition you carry is not the problem. The problem stems from certain groups like American MilSim do not like you to be able to carry BBs and refill your magazines on the fly in the field. Well, if you're running a 200 or a 2,800 round box mag, then you may have to refill that on the fly. If not, you may have to carry 5 or 6 of them and switch the box mags out. And that gets to be kind of challenging because, one, the box mags themselves are heavy and kind of cumbersome to carry around. But two, you don't want to carry too many of them. They take up a lot of space. If you try to put a Molly pouch on your plate carrier and carry 3 or 4 of those, you put 3 or 4 of them on there, that's all you can carry. You can't carry any grenades, no pistol magazines, anything else, because that's all you're going to carry. The other thing that you run into with the saws or the machine guns is that even though they're designated as a light machine gun, most of those are very heavy weapon platforms. My M60 is a full steel A&K M60, and that is a full-size replica, and it probably, with full BBs, batteries, and everything else, it probably weighs in right around 30 pounds, 35 pounds. It's a heavy steel gun. Carrying that around at a MilSim event where you're just basically hoofing around, that would be miserable. The M249 that I have, the M249 saw, that weapon platform would be a little bit more ideal. One, the box mag is underneath it, but two, it is a little bit lighter of a gun. Even though it is still heavy, it's much, much lighter. But again, I always caution people about not trying to make your saws work like stationary machine gun nests, but make them work like an M4 platform. Make them work as one of your assaulters, and that way you'll have a very assaultable crew that can be fast and nimble, and they can do a lot of different things for your team, and they don't just fit into one role. The machine gun role is one of those that you generally have to set it up in a position to where it can basically play one main role, and that is it's a machine gun. It's meant to shoot and shoot a whole lot and basically keep people's heads down. But you don't want to just say, well, sit up here on this ridge and just keep people from moving. Because if you do that, your machine gunners can't do anything else other than sit up on that ridge, keep shooting, and keep people's heads down. And you don't want a gunner, whether it be a machine gunner or anything else, to only fulfill one role. That is a really bad idea. And it's very, very, very difficult to make that work well whenever you're trying to fit those into a squad. So again, with the machine gun, the light machine gun, or the heavy machine gun, try to keep them as light and nimble as possible so they can move around, effectively fire, reload on the fly if needed. guys, this has been a quick look through all of the systems that are out there. This is by no means a comprehensive list. So there are other ones out there. And if you've come up with one, you know, let us know. If you thought of one that we didn't cover, let us know. We would love to hear about it. If you have a topic that you want us to cover in one of our Cross-Tactical Airsoft Battle Minute podcasts, send us an email at crosstacticalairsoft@gmail.com and let us know what you'd like to know about. We'll try to do a Battle Minute podcast on it. We'll set everything up. We'll do some research and we'll see what we can come up with. Guys, as usual, we took the time to go over these. Please go out, get information on each and every one of these. Learn a little bit more. But no matter what you do, remember, just get out and play.